just remind you, back in Genesis chapter 17, God made, we use the word covenant. God uses the word covenant, and he also, we use the word promise, or you might use the word agreement. But God made some covenants with Abraham. And does God keep his promises? Amen. And so, again, just the 30,000 foot view down on prophecy. If you look down on prophecy and you want to understand it, you need to understand the basics and you need to understand what God is talking about. We've talked about how literally God speaks, and we'll see that again today. And we've also talked about the fact that God has made promises. And so today we're going to look at some of those promises. And the first one, we'll begin in Genesis chapter 17. Abram was 90 years old and nine. That's 99 years old. I'm trying to remember. Does anybody here know someone that lived to be 100? Anybody? Not common, is it? Folks lived a little longer back then, but 99 years old. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Wow. There's a thought. And because of who God is, it ought to change who we are. When we aren't who we are, it's because we forget who God is and we forget his presence. And so he appears to Abram when he's 99 years old and he says, I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Did he? Amen. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. That's Matthew chapter 1. And of course, the 12 tribes of Israel became over 1 million people by the time they left Egypt, we think. And then since then, even bigger than that. So God kept that part of the promise. Verse 3, Abram fell on his face and God talked with him, saying, as for me, this is God speaking, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Now you look over in my handout if you've got it. I'm talking about God's covenant with Abraham in Genesis 17. First of all, it was a personal covenant. And he mentions that twice. He says in verse 1, he says, between me and thee. And then he says in verse 4, my covenant is with thee. I think he's talking to Abraham specifically. Amen? If I told Mr. Dahlman, I have some money in my pocket, or did, I will give you $5. And then I walked over and gave it to John. What would you say? What would you think? You're a kind person. You wouldn't say anything. What are you thinking? Yeah, I didn't do what I said I would do. Exactly. God does what he says he would do. Amen? Now, these covenants, it's interesting, by the way, there's a term today, covenant theology. And the devil is really good about taking a term and tricking you with it. And the interesting thing today is that covenant, the people that call themselves covenant theologians, they don't believe this. They think God's covenant was given to somebody else. They think that God took his covenant away from Abraham and gave it to the Gentile church. But if I went, come on in, folks, it's good to see you. I can't wait to get an update here. We may have to stop and get an update. If I told Greg I'd give him $5 and I gave it to John, I did not do what I said I would do. And I could say, well, you know, Greg, it turned out you didn't deserve $5. But I didn't say that, did I? I said, I'll give you $5. That's an unconditional agreement. So it doesn't matter whether Greg deserved $5. I said I'd give him $5. Brother Tim, good morning. Good morning to you. How's your wife? Okay, well, again. Okay, praise the Lord. We're in Genesis 17, by the way. Genesis. We're in Genesis 17 this morning. Yeah. Mr. Gonzalez, tell us about your son, please. Anything new? Still in the hospital. Okay, eating good? Good. Yeah. Okay, well, we prayed for him this morning. We'll keep doing that. Genesis 17. So, I just want you to remember, God made the promise to Abraham, okay? That seems simple enough to you, but there are people that don't believe that. They call themselves covenant theologians, and they say that God's covenant is no longer with the descendants of Abraham. Now, by the way, we'll just keep going here, okay? It's a personal covenant, okay? Now, it's also, I've used the words here in the handout, it's a prolific covenant. And in verse 4, he says that thou shalt be a father of many nations. We don't think about that a whole lot, but what are some of the nations that Abraham is the father of? Israel's one. Who was Abraham's other son? Yes. Ishmael. And you know what? The Ishmaelites are shooting missiles at the Israelites. Yeah. Yeah, the Keturah. I forgot about her off the top of my head. You're right. And you know what? The Ishmaelites have caused a lot of trouble. And the Arabs have caused some trouble too. God sent his son to die for their sins. They're savable just like anybody else. But Abraham is the father of many nations, and they're big nations. And so, just trying to make this as simple as I can. And you're going to think, why is Pastor beating this horse to death so bad? Because someday, Lord willing, you'll come across somebody who doesn't believe that Israel is any more part of God's plan. They're going to say God's done with Israel, and it's just like talking to a Catholic or a Mormon or someone like that who's hard-headed. They will not listen to the Bible. So I'm just beating this to death because this is a truth, and I believe it, and it defines who we are. It defines prophecy. If you don't understand this, you can't understand prophecy. And so be very careful. You come across someone like this, perhaps. Okay, I got to keep going. It's a prolific covenant. He says in verse 3, or verse 4, the father of many nations. And so, let's keep reading here. He says in verse 5, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. He literally changed his name. Who else did God do that to? Jacob. And what did he change it to? Israel. Same thing. Same thing exactly. So it's a prolific covenant, okay? Now look at verse 7. Well, that's verse 6. He says, I will make thee exceeding fruitful. That's prolific. I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. I do not know how folks can read that and say that God decided to discard Israel. I don't understand it. But I guarantee you, I have sat down with people and I've read them these verses, and they'll look at me and they'll say, well, what about? Or they'll say, oh, but, and they don't want to believe this. And folks, it's just really obvious. You know, take the Bible at face value, amen? So at God's covenant with Abraham, it's personal. It's between God and Abraham. And he says right there in verse 7, me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant. So once Abraham has stepped into eternity, then it's with Isaac. And when Isaac steps into eternity, then it's with Jacob. And then when Jacob steps into eternity, then it's with Judas and his brethren. And when they step into eternity, it's with their children. It's everlasting covenant. So let's see if I can get my chronology right here. So 4,000 years later-ish, 4,000 years later-ish, is that suddenly no good? No,
You know, if I told Greg I'd give him $5 next year, and then meanwhile I get unhappy with Greg, and next year I give it to, just because a long period of time spread doesn't mean the covenant changes, right? Amen. All right. It was promised to his seed. He says in verse 7, between me and thee and thy seed. Look at verse 8. I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And then he says in verse 9, he says, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. Someone says, Israel didn't keep their part. It was not a conditional arrangement. But listen to me. Today, someone says, don't get me going. The politicians in our nation, I don't know how they got elected, and they'll say, well, Israel is, what's the word they use? They're occupying a land that doesn't belong to them. Take that up with God. just the fact that they're in that land is a miracle. And God gave it to them. And he said they could have it forever. They took it away from the Palestinians. Yep, God arranged all that.
Right.
And what you'll find is the people that don't like Israel don't like God.
Right.
Because if you believe your Bible, you're going to find a place where, I put it in the back of the bulletin today, the way you deal with Israel is going to affect the way God deals with you. So God's covenants, first of all, with Abraham. Now, keep going in the chapter there. We keep reading. In verse 9, God said to Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant. In verse 10, this is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and that shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And so there's a sign of that covenant, which is circumcision. And I cannot tell you why God chose that or what it's all about, but, you know, God does what he does. And that has been something that they wanted, that they found important. It goes on, verse 10 and verse 11 and 12 and 13 and 14, all mention that. And so I'm going to come down to verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Verse 17, Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? Now, I'm going to go all the way to James and quote something for you. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. I don't think he's laughing because he thinks that it's impossible. I think he's laughing because, wow, this is pretty good stuff. He does say, you know, this is impossible, but folks, when God says it, that settles it. And I wish God, pray God would make us laugh a little more often, perhaps. Abraham said unto God in verse 18, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Okay, and God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And that word Isaac has to do with laughter, by the way. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him a fruitful, and will multiply him exceeding. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. There aren't many times in the Bible where God appears to people and says that much. A very important thing, very important passage, that God would not send an angel as a messenger, but God personally tells him this. And we might think of this as a theophany or a Christophany. But anyway, God made that covenant with Abraham. Now go to Genesis 26. Genesis 26. Before I read this, just think about something. What do you do when someone rejects the truth? Pray for him. I like that answer. Who said that? Bronson, was that you? Yeah, pray for him. Greg and I have been talking about this recently. You know, we come to our students in our school and we tell them the same thing that people told us when we were in school, which is you need to work hard. And do you know that people don't like to work? But let me tell you something. Now that we have lived most of our lives, those of us that have, I can look back and tell you, I'm sure glad I worked hard when I did. And I sure wished I'd have worked harder when I didn't. And there were some times when I didn't work hard, and I'd be a lot better off today if I had worked hard back then. But at the end of the day, we trust God to get that message that we have across to somebody. That's why we pray for our students. I'm so excited about my chemistry class. They have unintentionally and unknowingly learned a whole bunch of chemistry this year. In fact, I've learned some things that I had not seen since I was in my 20s and forgotten. But the harder you work, the more result you're going to get if God blesses. When we give somebody the truth and they reject it, that doesn't change the truth. And it really shouldn't change us. We're just trying to help. And I have to remember that because sometimes we get frustrated when folks won't hear the truth. Genesis 26. We saw God's covenant with Abraham. Let's talk about Isaac a little bit. Verse 1, Genesis 26. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Two or three things you see right there. First of all, when the famine comes, can God provide anyway? You say, well, Pastor, I just don't see how. There's no food. There's no money. There's no... Folks, God's got it. And he can bless you even in a famine. That's a good lesson there. But can you see what's happening here? This is very important. God made a promise to Abraham. And now Isaac comes on the scene. And God comes to Isaac and says, just want to remind you, just want to tell you in person, that promise I made to Abraham, it's for you as well. In fact, it was yours when I gave it to Abraham. And you are the holder of that promise. So this promise is being perpetuated from generation to generation. So Isaac, in chapter 26 and verse 1, God tells him to sojourn in the land. The covenant was with Isaac. It has to do with the land. I do not take it for granted that we live in a day when Israel's back in that very same land. Look at verse 4. I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Seed. Seed. You take one little grain of corn, and you plant it, and how much corn do you get? A whole bunch. Who's ever tried to count the ears, the kernels on the ear of corn? And I don't know, we studied this in chemistry. If you want to get more corn, make sure there's enough phosphorus in the soil. If you're a home gardener, make sure you feed your garden. It makes a big difference. So now you get multiple ears of corn. If you planted every one of those grains of corn carefully, how much corn would you have? Oh, wow. A field full, maybe, yeah. That's multiplying. That's reproducing. Seed. In the Bible, there's one particular seed that God is interested in, and that is that down the generations, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come from these folks. Okay, I'm just going to go a direction here. So somebody says, well, you know, in Israel, when they sinned, and they were in 720 something BC, 722, the northern 10 tribes were taken captive, and in 586, the southern 10 tribes were taken captive because of their idolatry, and I've had people tell me, and so God was done with them. Well, he was done with them, then why did he use them to bring the Messiah? And why is Romans 11 in the Bible? But anyway, he says to them, he says to Abraham, here's what I'm going to do to Isaac. He gives Isaac the same promise. And did the Messiah come? And did he come from Judah? Yes. And the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he is called. And are they in the land? And are there a whole bunch of them? Yeah. You ever try to count the stars? You know, you look up and you think, nah, I'm not trying. I like to look at certain stars. I enjoy the fact that you can see the Big Dipper and you can find the North Star and you can use that to navigate. When I was in the Army, we used to run around at night, sneak around at night's the right word to use. And we were walking around at night. You never, ever, ever use a flashlight. And so you'd read the map and you'd kind of remember enough of the map to know where you were going and then turn the lights all off and use the stars to navigate. You might have a compass with a glowing needle on it, but the stars were easier. But if that's north or wherever it is, you know, then you know where you're going. And so the number of stars beyond, you don't even try to count them. You're not going to count the inhabitants of Israel. So the covenant with Isaac, now go to Genesis 35. It's the same covenant, by the way, that he made with Abraham, if you keep reading chapter 26, but we're going to try to get through this lesson today, chapter 35. It'll begin in verse 9. Now, just to make it clear here, in chapter 17, God himself appeared to Abraham. In chapter 26, the Lord appeared unto Isaac in verse 2. In chapter 35, in verse 9, God appeared unto Jacob again. So God himself appeared to Abraham, appeared to Isaac, and appeared to Jacob. The perpetuity of this covenant is very, very clear. And God's telling them these things. In verse 9, God appeared unto Jacob again, Genesis 35, 9, when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Have you heard that before? Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. I'm thinking of King David, I'm thinking of King Solomon, I'm thinking of King Jesus. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. In other words, your children and their children and their children. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And so Jacob set up a pillar there. So now we have the reestablishment of this covenant in verse 9. And we have the prosperity of it in verse 11, many people. And we have the land promised in verse 12. And so we have this, we call this the Abrahamic covenant. There are other covenants in the Bible that are important to prophecy. And you can find, for example, there's the Davidic covenant. There is the new covenant in Jeremiah. But God's covenant with Abraham was literal, literal recipients of that covenant, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, literal people, their offspring, literal land, a specific geographic location, literal kings were mentioned in Genesis 17 and Genesis 35. Now go to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. A lot of time has passed. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brother, and Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. Phares begat Ezram. Ezram begat Amminadab. Amminadab begat Naas, and Naas begat Salmon. Anyway, it goes on. But in Genesis, the Bible talks about the story of Israel and Jacob and his sons. And Joseph died and was buried in a coffin in Egypt. And that's how Genesis ended. But Joseph said, listen to me, when you leave Egypt, take my bones with you. And what was it, brother, 400 years later that happened? So some time elapsed, and the Egyptians kept Israel captive for several hundred years, 400 years or so. And guess what? God kept his promise, and they came out of the land. And so in Exodus chapter 2, you say, well, where's this covenant? Now let's look and see what it says. Verse 24. God heard their groaning, they're captive in Egypt and they're suffering in bondage. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, and with Isaac and with Jacob, and looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. It's time to act. I like it when God says it's time to act. Amen? Aren't you like to be a part of that and see that? And trust God will act in our lives as well. Go to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. In verse 1, the Lord said unto Moses, "Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land." And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, "I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob." And he did appear to him, didn't he? By the name of, here it is again, God Almighty. I should know that appellative. Jehovah. Brother Tim, do you remember? That's one of the Jehovah appellatives. And it's one of the names of God. But we would just simply say it this way. There's nothing God can't do. Elohim, perhaps. It could be. I'd have to look at an interlinear Bible to know for sure. But don't take your time on that right now. But it's one of the names of God. And sometimes we need to be reminded. I can use some examples. When some folks in our church have been suffering lately, you start to wonder, why is this happening? Don't think God doesn't have a plan and a purpose, and don't think God can't deliver. It's not because of what God can't do, it's because of what God is doing. God Almighty. There's just no limit to what God can do. And the Bible says, all Israel shall be saved. Someone says, well, how is that possible after all? Wait a minute, he's God Almighty. So don't use that word possible in the same sentence with God. All things are possible is the only way you can use that phrase. So Exodus chapter 6, we keep on going. He says, I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob in the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. And that's a long, complicated story. But the word Jehovah in the Bible has to do with the self-existence of God. The fact that God, when he says, I am, God is not dependent upon anyone for his existence, for his strength. God is eternal. It's the character of God. There's a whole lot more there than we got time. But he says, I was not known to them that way. He says in verse 4, I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel when the Egyptians keep, which the Egyptians keep in bondage, or whom. And I have remembered my covenant. By the way, God never forgets his covenant. Amen. And so he appears to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Now he's appearing to Moses. Oh, we got to go fast. Okay, 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16. Just showing the perpetuity of this covenant here. Speculate who compiled Chronicles, maybe Ezra. It's a long time afterwards. The kings of Israel have already mostly come and gone. 1 Chronicles is a book of history. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 14. Let's read verse 13. O ye seed of Israel, his servants, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant. Now, this is a long time afterwards. David's about 1,000 B.C., roughly. And a lot of time has elapsed. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. We asked you this before. How long is a generation? I don't know. Be real, real, real conservative and say 20 years. Well, 20,000 years is longer than the world has existed. And it's longer than the world will exist, too. I'm very sure of that. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. So it's as long as this earth is in place, that covenant is in place, he says there. And let's see where we're at here. And he says in verse 19, when you were but a few, even a few, and strangers in it. God made that promise back when it looked very unlikely. Who'd think that one family would wind up still having inhabitants on the earth today? When so many families obviously don't. Not just that, but to be a great nation. Psalm 105. Now we're in David's day. Psalm 105, maybe 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus Christ stepped onto the earth as a baby. 105. Verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name. What a great psalm. Seek the Lord, verse 4, remember his marvelous works in verse 5. Verse 6, O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever. The word which he commanded to, now we have 1,000 generations there. His covenant again, his covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and he confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, everlasting, everlasting, everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when it didn't seem likely, what he's saying there. Psalm 105 makes it very clear that that covenant is still in effect. Let's go on further. We've got three more to go. Acts chapter 3. We've got just enough time if I go quick. Acts chapter 3. Now we're all the way into the New Testament. Acts, written by Luke, probably written after 60 A.D. Luke 3 and verse 25. And I'm trying to see where we're at here. Story. Peter and John go up together in verse 3 to the temple. And so what we've got here actually is the story of, Peter preaching in verse 12. Peter saw it and he answered. And so now come back to verse 25. He says, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first. And he goes on and talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's still that covenant still there. In the days when Peter was preaching on the earth. Romans chapter 9. We got two to go with just enough time. Romans chapter 9. During the ministry of Paul. After the preaching of Peter there in Acts. Romans chapter 9, let's just start in verse 1. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Let's stop right there for a minute. So Paul says, and some people would discuss what he really means by this, but he says, I'd like to see if I could get them saved, even if it cost me my salvation, I could wish that. It's not going to happen that way, of course. And then he says this. Now look again, be very careful. He says, my brethren in verse 3, my kinsmen in verse 3, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, physical flesh descendants of Jacob. Not figurative, not some other group of people that God is going to replace the Israelites with. These are the descendants of Jacob. The descendants of Jacob, physical descendants of Jacob, are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants. And the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. The covenants pertain to the nation of Israel, the descendants of Israel. Someone says, oh, no, they messed up and God took them away. That's not what Paul said. That's not what Peter preached. That's not what Romans 11. Look at one last thing that Paul says. And this one to me is this is kind of the clincher, if you need a clincher. He says, I say then in verse 1 of Romans chapter 11, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite. What does that mean? He's of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. He says, "Wot ye not? Know ye not what the scripture said? Saith of Elias, I maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed my prophet, thy prophets, and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, then at this present time, when Paul is alive there, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace," and we won't get into the rest of that, but he's talking about Israel. In conclusion, real fast, the people of prophecy are the literal descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and particularly of Jacob. When the Bible names Israel, these are the people to whom it is speaking and about whom it is speaking. The promises in prophecy that deal with Israel deal with these literal people. To understand prophecy, you must understand that the people of prophecy are Israel. That's huge. I could talk about that some more next week. But you say, well, the tribulation, what's going to happen in the tribulation? God's going to deal with Israel. And they're going to turn back to him. Everything that happened, there's this little space of time that we're living in where Israel is kind of on the shelf, so to speak. But folks, God hadn't cast them away. He's not done with them yet. In Daniel, God told Daniel that there are 70 weeks that pertain to your people Israel, and there's 1 week left, and it's the week of the tribulation. I'm going to beat this horse. I'm sorry, that's even a horrible illustration. I'm going to talk about this topic and talk about it, and hope you remember it, because you're going to come across somebody that says, "Oh no, the church is the new Israel. Oh no, God has cast off Israel." Well, there's just one thing that keeps me from believing that, and that's the Bible. Let's all stand and pray.